Good morning, everyone. Let us turn to Psalm 30, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 30, verses 1 to 5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this morning where we can wake up to your word. I pray, God, that you will come and move and speak. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. And just minister to us and into our hearts. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to share on some of Psalm 30 because actually the main parts that really spoke to me was through these first few verses. So first of all, this psalm indicates it was written for the dedication of David's palace. However, even though it was supposed to be a dedication of his palace being built, you see actually there was no mention of him, his own glory. In fact, he turns his attention to God and God alone. He praises the Lord. He starts off the psalm extolling the Lord, not himself. He has a very clear understanding of who brought him where he was. His life, his healings, the victories over his enemies were all credits due to the Lord. Here David recalls the victories the Lord had brought him through and also how the Lord was his help in his times of distress. No one really knows what David was going through because in verse 2 it talked about, I cried for help and you had healed me. But it seems that most people suspect it was physical illnesses or injury. However, I think it also goes deeper than just the physical. Many times when we ask for help, you will probably ask for help from the people closest to you, your parents, family, friends, and the help you will get will probably enable you to alleviate your immediate circumstances or situation. It will be able to take you out of your distress. So for instance, if I am in debt and I need help, I can call on a few friends and seek them and they will help me and probably lend me money, hopefully, and I'll be able to pay off my debt. Or if I'm sick, I can just go to the doctors, get some medication, and I'll be recovering soon. Or of course, you know, you can call the police during times of distress or if you're in a dire situation. And this is quite straightforward. You call for help, you get it. And but what about a different situation? You know, if you think about a different situation where someone may need help, how would that look like? So for instance, how would you help someone who goes right back into the very thing you helped them out of? I remember going on mission trips, and we were taught and trained not to give financially to those we were ministering to. If we want to give, we were encouraged to give them things that would help them in their daily necessities, for instance, food or clothing, instead of money. Because most of the people we worked with may be having situations with finances, or they may be drug abusers, or they may have gambling addiction problems. And so by giving them money is only going to help them for a very short amount of time. In fact, it may not help them much. It may bring them to a worse place than they were before. And so these situations, the help that you're able to give and provide is actually very limited. And I have been long enough in the ministry of healing to know that many times when someone is needing help, it's not just about provision. It is not just about the physical needs. Most of the time, it's internal. Most of the time, it's something deeper. And in order for the help to be lasting, we actually need to help the people deal with the internal struggles, issues, and traumas. You can try to help a person struggling with lust issues by taking practical steps like cutting off the internet, taking away the phone, stopping them from going to places where they can be easily tempted, keeping them busy with work or studies, right? But we all know this is only dealing with the symptoms. It doesn't touch onto the more deeper issues of insecurities and traumas and hurt and rejection. So I feel when David was talking about, I cried out for help and you came and you healed me, it wasn't, to me, when I read it, it wasn't something that was immediate and, you know, just, oh, I need one and two and God provided. God's intention is deeper than that. God's intention is to bring healing in our times where we need help. He is not only interested in giving a solution. I mean, he does. He always does. And I'm so thankful how many times he's come through when I really need physical, immediate help. But he comes for healing as well as that. He is very interested in our well-being, in dealing with our root issues in our lives, because he is a God of freedom. He is not a genie in a bottle. He is the God who knows the beginning to the end, who knew you before you were even created, who has loved you with an everlasting love. He is definitely more concerned about saving you from hell and to set you on his path, which is to lead you to a life in abundance. How was David able to come to this place of praise and extolling the name of the Lord? In verse 4, he says, "Sing praises to the Lord, all you saints, and give thanks to his holy name." I think one of the key things is do not forget. Do not forget his goodness. Remind yourself of all that he has done. Remember the things that he has promised you and every victory he's won. I think we are so easy to forget. You know, all the good things, sometimes it's hard to dig it out in your head. The bad memories come so easily. We need to reverse that, because every good thing that happens in our life must be credited to God. And we need to constantly come in a place of knowing and remembering this. When you praise him, when you make a conscious effort to think back on the help he has provided to you, whether it is physical or emotional, you cannot help but praise him. Because you cannot help but see the goodness. You cannot help but see that he's a loving God. In verse 1, it says, you know, David extol the Lord. The word extol actually means to praise enthusiastically. And my question to us today is, how are we praising him enthusiastically? Are we praising him all the time? In the big and in the small? Are we praising him in the morning and the nighttime? You know, are we giving him the praise he deserves? Every day, all the time. Or are we distracted when we're praising him, when we're meditating on his word, or when we're praying? You know, are we distracted? I mean, I know I get distracted easily, because every time I spend time with God, somehow there is this to-do list that does not end. This to-do list just keeps adding, you know. And actually, this was not how God intended for us to be in the first place. He created us to praise him. He created us to worship him. And so it is important that we come consciously, make an effort to praise him enthusiastically. Give thanks to his holy name. David calls us to give thanks to him because we are all his saints and he is worthy to be praised. Praising the Lord is actually very healthy for us. And I feel like there are a few benefits of praising the Lord. So, number one, it helps take our attention and our focus out of ourselves, away from ourselves, and back onto God. So an added benefit of praising is that we no longer have to focus on our own problems, our problems will not look so big anymore. The difficulties and the challenges in our lives, we don't have to wallow in our own helplessness and distress and our sorrow, because we are not fixated on our own problems. Our attention is now on the Almighty God. We were not originally created to be self-focused and self-absorbed. In fact, it wasn't until sin came that we started looking into ourselves so much more. Before Adam and Eve sinned, their attention was all to God. But once they sinned, immediately, somehow, they realized they were naked. So the intention of God, our relationship to God, was always to praise God. It was never to be focused on ourselves. So by praising Him, we're coming back to the original design and not be self-focused. And as a result, your problems become less big. And the number two benefit is we are able to see how great God is and how small we really are. It actually really humbles us. As our attention is placed back to God, we see that our problem is not so big. We are actually not the problem solver. He has all the power. He has all the authority. He has all the ability and the wisdom. Everything can be under His control if only our attention is on Him. Praising God brings us to this place where we can draw strength to overcome anything, any situation in life. So praising the Lord is essential, especially in our times of weakness and struggles. I remember a year ago, I had a car accident, and I didn't understand why it happened. My car was totaled. It wasn't my fault. This person just teed me, and I had my son behind me. And as I was processing through this whole accident on the day, I cannot help. I wasn't like, why did this happen to me? But I'm thinking, thank God nothing worse happened, because my son and I walked out. No scratch, you know. And all I was doing is, thank God this didn't happen. And as God showed me what He was doing during the time of the accident, my attitude continued to change, because the situation was no longer about me, this crazy car accident that totaled my car, that really shocked me and my son. You know, it was actually all on God. You were there. You helped me. You protected me. And not only did You protect me, the son, the children You have given me, I have no control and no power to protect them at all. But yet, You are the one who protected him. And as I processed this day with my son, by the half day, he was able to talk about it freely. He has no trace of trauma from this car crash, even until today. I no longer had anger over the woman. I was thinking, wow, God, You love me so much. And because You love me so much, You actually love her so much too. Because if she had seriously injured me or my son, can you imagine where she would be? But God's love covered it all, right? And so when we come to a place in praising God, even the situation where it could be so scary, so fearful, so traumatic and so great, can be something worthy of praise. I was humbled because there was nothing I could do out of the situation that was completely not my fault. But because He was in control, I am able to rest. So after this car accident, I was able to get behind the wheel within 2 months. And thank God I'm still driving now, because if I don't, my kids won't get picked up. But, you know, like, there's something about praising God. And the third benefit is praise opens the door for God's supernatural works in your life. When we are in a place of focusing God and walking in humility, realizing that God is God and we are not, it creates a perfect opportunity for God to come and work His way. It releases us from our own control or expectation on things and how it should happen, how it should work. And it opens up the space for God to do things however He wants and however He desires. I mean, personally, there was a very difficult time in my life where I couldn't have made it without God. And specific incidents happen where there was one time I was so scared because my phone was lost, and my phone contained a lot of my information. And I remember I was so scared, and I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. My phone is gone. And if it gets really, like, if someone takes it, you know, a lot of my personal information, private photos, and all of that would be happening, would be out in the open. And I could not bear the thought of that. And I remember I was stressing out until God suddenly asked me very loudly and clearly in an audible but inaudible voice. He said, "Do you trust me?" And immediately I was so shocked and scared, but not in a in an irreverent way. And I just said, "Yes, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you." And from then I decided, wow, I trust you. Who else am I going to trust? Who else is going to come? This is a time where I needed your help and your comfort, because I don't know how I'm going to deal with the consequences that come after if someone was to take my phone. And so I declared, yes, I trust you. I love you, God. I trust you. I started trusting him, praising him, and really putting my heart into this. And then he gave the phone back to me with no problem. I mean, it was an iPhone dropped in the taxi cab when iPhone just came out. You know, it's quite a big deal when it's really expensive. But that person returned the phone. And from then on, I realized, yeah, when we let him be God, he takes care of us. And it may or may not be the way you intended for it to be taken care of, but he has a way. He has his way. And we're going to have to be okay with his way if we're going to ask him to help us. So why should we praise the Lord? I mean, we have all these benefits. And in verse 5 it says, "For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." We praise God because he is a good God. His anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. David speaks from his experience with God, and I think he is speaking on behalf of all of us. There are difficult seasons, trying times. There are failures, but God's anger is only for a moment. The weeping may endure a night, but look at the contrast that greatly shows God's character, which is his favor is for a lifetime. A quote I got from Boyce, it says, "By itself, this passage could mean merely into each life a little rain must fall, or every cloud has a silver lining, or you've got to take the bad with the good, or cheer up, things will get better." But what David is talking about is God's disfavor versus his favor, expressed in the experiences of life. His conviction is that the favor always outweighs the disfavor of God for God's people. His favor always outweighs the disfavor for God's people. He is really incredible. This is the assurance from God. It may be difficult for a moment, but God will always come through. He will always bring comfort, and he will always restore your joy. We just need to fix our gaze on him, remember him and praise him and focus on him, because this is a promise. He promised it. So let us go into a time of worship. And in this time of worship, let's not forget to give space in our hearts to praise the Lord. Whether you're in a time where it is difficult, remember that the weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. If you are in a challenging situation or a place today, I pray that this psalm will be of encouragement to you. May we learn to praise him in every situation, include him, invite him, and remember him. Let us focus on him and less on ourselves, less on our situations. The joy of the Lord does great things. It brings wonders and miracles. Not only is it a source of strength, it is also a source for healing.
Never fails me all my days.
goodness. You just want your goodness to run after me. Run after us, Lord. You are so good. May you come today, Lord, and continue to be with us, Lord. Strengthen us. May your joy come and fall upon us, Lord, that it will be our strength. It will be our strength to overcome. Or it will be our healing, the healing that we need. I pray and I bless everyone here with your joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.